Our God and Father, we rejoice that we can sing these words together. We rejoice in the company of one another, and we pray for help at this time, dependent on the presence of the Holy Spirit and His power. Thankful for His nearness to us. And we pray we may get right, suitable things to say at this time. Pray for all thy people universally. Think of them in every place. We pray for help and mercy and way through. Pray for government. Pray that what's right may be strengthened. What's evil, wrong, and any Christian might be weakened as we rejoice now to for thy help at this time. Pray for liberty, pray for power, pray for strength as we bear up all to thee with a note of worship to thyself. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I was thinking of some verses. Firstly, in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And this is the Romans. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 19. So then, let us pursue the things which tend to peace, the things whereby one shall build up another. And Epistle of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of enclosure, having annulled the enmity in his flesh, the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might form the two in himself into one new man, making peace, and might reconcile both in one body to God by the cross, having by it slain the enmity, and coming he has preached the glad tidings of peace to you who are far off, and the glad tidings of peace to those who are nigh. I was thinking of this matter of peace, thing that the Lord might help us inquire into it for a little. Very beautiful reference to these this category called the peacemakers. It's dignified by the reference to they should be called sons of God. I think it would be an advanced reference in terms of sonship. So whether we're attracted to the idea of a peacemaker, making peace, so the expenses of righteousness, not expense of the expense of the truth, being stated. Those in the prophets helps. Isaiah 32, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, assurance forever. So that it's clear that righteousness would go along with this great matter of peace. That's needed. Our peace is needed in our places. And indeed in our households. You hear of situations where things aren't peaceful in households. Why would that be? Why would we settle for division? Why would we settle for anything that would have a link with enmity? That's what the apostle clearly is getting at in the passage in Ephesians. This verse in Romans came to one's mind. Let us pursue the things which tend to peace and the things, it says, things that whereby one shall build up another. See, that's the matter of edification. In some sense, it's a princely idea, I think. What we want to be built up in is the truth, features of the truth. Ephesians brings it in. For the perfecting of the saints with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ. See, that's the same idea as building up. So that we can test ourselves, we can challenge ourselves. Are we pursuing the things whereby one shall build up another? I think it's very much needed. So that the idea of division or enmity can't be allowed for. Was very affecting the latter years of our brothers' service. If there was anything that that came up that would have brought in disunity, he immediately countered it with this principle of building up another. He wouldn't leave things. Something came up that could be attended to. He attended to it immediately. I remember one particular time. I think I've referred to it probably already. But on top of it, in the middle of Irvington, there was a man that had come up. And he had no part in it. A letter had been written, and it was divisive. And the brother that initiated it would have been regarded as the leading brother. I remember my brother dealing with it in the centre of the circle after the meeting. He dealt with it so skillfully. He wasn't going to contemplate it. He wasn't going to consider that there should be any division or any distance. Our brother didn't get it right, but that doesn't matter. It didn't make any difference. From my brother's side, he acted in a very beautiful way, very princely way. And it was settled in such a way that there was nothing outstanding at all from his side. But that was consistent in our blood brother's service. So, any of you fellows in the front row here who regard yourself as leaders, are you going on with division? Are you putting up with it? Are you living with it? We just start with the front row because it's the closest at hand. Is that all right, Mr. James?
Very thankful for the challenge, Mr. Hales. Very, very wonderful. A person that would be a peacemaker would be someone that had been through the exercise of the cross, would you think?
Yes, well, because that's what the apostle brings in, doesn't he? These two references to many in Ephesians 2. Firstly, it's having an old enmity in his flesh. That would, I think, include an allusion to the Lord's service in the days of his flesh, those 3.5 years of public service. But then he goes on. It might reconcile both in one body to God by the cross, having by it slain the enmity. I suppose you could say that the cross really was the summit of enmity. Enmity against God. All were taken by Christ himself. That's what it says, doesn't it, in Peter, refers to when suffering threatened not. That's not Peter, I don't think, is it? Yes, it is. Here, 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Who, when reviled, reviled not again, when suffering threatened not. Gave himself over into the hands of him who judges righteously. Think of all that Christ took on himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, by whose stripes you've been healed. Think of Christ being made sin, bearing the wrath of God against sin, judgment of God against sin, so perfectly. Say more what was in your mind.
I was just thinking of the complete demarcation between good and evil. What he says in Ephesians, just a Jew and Gentile, that was worked out of the cross. There's what's the perfect separation. If I've gone through that in my own history, I'd understand the cost of peace, wouldn't I? Do you think, would that be right?
Yes. Greatest division that could be pointed out between the Jew and the Gentile. Still exists today. Seems to have flared up publicly in the public domain. See, enmity is the devil's work, Satan's work. It's all been met. This wonderful reference to the glad tidings has preached the glad tidings of peace. To you who are far off, glad tidings of peace to those who are nigh. It's the same message. God is not sending out two messages. Got one message. That's the wonderful preaching of the glad tidings. Next chapter refers to it as the glad tidings of the unsearchable riches of the Christ. That's the wealth we've been endowed with spiritually.
Would it only be by the Spirit that we could discern what needs to be righteously attended to and what could be absorbed? I'm thinking especially in our households. Start there, would it?
Yes. See, mostly, I remember my brother saying once about JD and JD Jr. He said pretty much they absorbed everything. They were priestly persons par excellence. Why can't we take a leaf out of their book? Husbands and wives too. It's unthinkable. Husbands and wives not getting along with one another. Take the low place. So much is so much division comes in over things that are not an issue of the truth. There should be peace in our households.
Would a forgiving spirit be a tray of a peacemaker?
Yes, certainly it would. So the apostle brings that in, doesn't he, in Colossians, I think. It's the forgiving one another. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any should have a complaint against any, even as the Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. So it's not peace at any price. It's not peace, as we've said, at the expense of righteousness. When righteousness is pursued, the work of righteousness, what is that referred in Isaiah again? The work of righteousness. Mm-hmm. work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. What more were you thinking, Mr. John?
I just think about the way we've been treated. We've all been always been shown a forgiving spirit. If we were wrong, we were put right, and if we were right, we were defended, weren't we?
Yeah, see, that's what our brother said. It was his impression of Hedy Jr. first time he went to New York. That if you were right, he'd defend you. If you weren't right, he'd get you right. That was a special matter. My blood brother going to New York that time, 58. He got a very distinct impartation, I think, from our beloved. It hurt him in 54 when he came out to these parts. And of course he knew JD, their personal contact with him as a young man. I think what he saw in New York that time, 58, was an administration par excellence. And that's what we want to go in for. We don't want to settle something partial or any arrangement that allows for division.
Could you help us to understand how the Lord makes an issue and how we know when the Lord has made an issue?
Well, it's a question of whether we understand the principles. Mr. Lewis, I've forgotten your first name, sorry.
Ben.
Ben, that's right. So if we understand the principles that govern God's house, we'll never be at a loss. I don't think we've gone in for enough study of the principles that govern God's house. And then you go by the facts. It's how every matter can be settled. In a priestly way, but in a judicial way.
The Lord refers to a son of peace. If a son of peace shall be there in relation to the houses, would that be something formed substantially that has an overarching influence, do you think?
Yes, certainly it would be. See, I think this idea of a peacemaker is more advanced than a son of peace. Son of peace is a very beautiful idea, very attractive. But here, a peacemaker shall be called sons of God. So they would represent really the counsels of God. There's a scripture in Zechariah, isn't it? Zechariah is the council of peace. Or is it Zephaniah? Thank you. Zechariah 6. She'll bear the glory and she'll sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne. And the counsel of peace shall be between them both. So you think that's what a peacemaker would set out, would represent. It would involve, I think, that the rights of the throne would be fully upheld. But it's in this wonderful spirit of building one another up. Edification. And then the Ephesian scriptures to the glad tidings. So we've been taught since we knew anything that the glad tidings is the main line.
I think your beloved Father said that a peacemaker brings peace by upholding the truth. Is that the only way to bring the peace into our households is through the truth?
Yes, demonstration. Demonstration of it, Mr. James. Is your proper name, or yeah? Not your proper name?
Jamie.
Yeah, I'll just call you James for today, is that all right?
It's a lot better, thank you.
Yeah, right. So upgrading you a bit. That is building you up a bit. You're not local in The Hague. You've got connections there. They need to learn this as to being peacemakers. You wonder sometimes how much consternation can come in such a small company of saints. So this idea of edification is very beautiful. I think I referred to the reference in chapter 4. It goes on there. It's the work of the ministry until we all arrive. It says, unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God. But then it is that the full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. See, that's a reference to fullness. It's an Ephesian term, it's an Ephesian feature. We get the reference in the first chapter to the assembly, his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In chapter 3 we get to know the love of Christ, that you may be filled even to all the fullness of God. And then it is full-grown man, measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ.
The prophet brings out the Lord is the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, is the expression of the Spirit of Christ, the remedy for peace for us.
Yes. See, that's a beautiful touch. Oh, the increase. increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. See, what's going to mark the eternal day is very, very attractive. But it's more testing now because of what we have to face, the contrariety of the flesh. And what's against the testimony, what's against what the devil is doing the whole time is trying to mine the glory of the current testimony. So we want to be unified about it, Mr. Lawrence. Say some more.
Well, it takes us back to the cross again, that he made peace by the blood of the cross, and that the sons of Korah could say that loving kindness and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Is that reconciliation?
Yes. I think you better stay on here. Take a fellowship with you tomorrow night. You happy with that, Mr. James?
Absolutely.
How many times have you been to Tasmania, Mr. Lawrence? I mean, now. You've got to say it in the mic here, that these notes get printed.
One time before.
What year was that?
2008. It was between the UMs, between Sydney and Melbourne, was it?
2008. Melbourne's first Universal was 2009, was it? I go by remembering the Leeds. There were four at Leeds. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 2012. So maybe Mr. Lawrence has gone to some universals we don't know about. I've got no difficulty.
I've been wrong before, but I'm trying not to be being wrong again.
Do you think any study of these great men, Mr. Harles, would have to tend a piece? I'm just thinking what Paul could say, what you both learned and received and heard, seeing in me these things, doing the God of peace. Shall we with you?
Well, see, we've had wonderful examples, Mr. Nathan. What we need is to imitate them. Imitate their faith. Imitate their conversation, which is a manner of life. What's the scripture you're quoting again?
Sorry, it's Philippians 4, verse 9.
Yes. See, the Philippians were doing it. They took it on. It's what the apostle points out in the first chapter. From the first day, the fellowship with the gospel, from the first day until now, he had confidence in them. They really excelled in their taking on of what was set out in the apostle. And it fitted them. Fitted them for conflict.
Abraham could say, let there be no contention between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Does he really set out a peacemaker, do you think?
Yes. Yes, he had lessons to learn early in his career, but he learnt them. He got held up down in Egypt. He learnt the lesson. Did everything he could to help Lot. Finally, Lot was saved. Peter credits him with being righteous, doesn't he? You speak about his righteous soul, don't we?
2 Peter 2:7.
Yes, so that say righteous Lot. And it goes on, for the righteous man through seeing and hearing dwell among them, tormented his righteous soul day after day with their lawless works. You say he stayed there. Well, he shouldn't have been there. Yes, but he was righteous. And Abraham, he saved him. He rescued him. He wouldn't settle for compromise with the king of Sodom. Is there an objective in the temperature in this room to try and bring as much cold from outside inside? Or so we feel like, well, I know we're closer to the Antarctic than where we come from. But do we have to have it this cold? Anybody else feel a bit chilly?
Yeah, it's freezing.
We'll put it up 2 degrees. Who's in charge of the temperature? Who's in charge of it but lost control of it? Who is it? Speak up.
We have a brother out the back looking after it. I've just bumped it up here as well, overriding it.
You've all got the message, I think. Anyway, that's not for the notes. It's just, as far as I can see here, it's 18. It's just a little chilly.
17.6. Yeah,
you're right, 17.6. 18th, that's the date, is it? So that Abraham was a model. I was just looking for that reference where he rescued them. Chapter 15:14. Very beautiful. He brought back all the property and brought again his brother Lot and his property, the women also and the people. It was a full rescue. He wasn't even going to leave the property, so I think that's significant. He was looking after Lot's property. It was nearly Lot's property, but it was Lot's property. So, I don't know what I'm laughing at. I'm laughing because the brethren are laughing, I think. So that he's a model. We need to go by these wonderful models. Supreme model. Christ, leaving you a model, Peter says, that you'd follow in his steps.
Would Mephibosheth fit in? He said, let him even take all. Is that a spirit that's needed amongst us?
Yes. My brother was only in business on his own account for a very short time. But that was his spirit. If there was any question of competition or anything like that, it was that's what he did first and foremost and last. Let him take it all. That's Mephibosheth. See, we had more of that amongst us, beloved. There's plenty enough to go around. I've proved, observed, and witnessed. There's more than enough to go around. Why should we ever be at cross purposes with brethren over business matters? Remember our father late on, but not so late on when you were in there. It was pretty late on. 99, there was something that had come up, and he said to me, this thing that's come up, he said, why don't you just get out of, I think he said the office fit out, just get out of it altogether. He started it, get out of it. I said, what would I do? I'll go into, he gave me, told me what to do, go into such and such. He said, Bruce, he said, you could go into anything and make a fortune out of it. He said, just don't worry about it. Just scrap it all and start again. That impressed me. It really impressed me. That was 99. Early 99.
Could I quote something your father told?
As long as it's accurate.
It's dead accurate.
Oh, that's Phil.
Bruce.
Bruce, I mean, yeah.
A younger man was, no, it was me, tending to have the answer to everything, and spoke to him a number of times about this matter, and he said, you're feeding on nuts and bolts. Get on and feed the brethren. I've never forgotten that.
That's what J.S. had said to you.
Yes.
Very good. Well, that's a sort of a quotation you can't exactly either explain or add to it. So we just leave it where it is.
Would what David said about if you come to me peaceably to help me, would that fit in?
Yeah, there's a good reference. I was thinking of that scripture. And he made them chiefs of bands. See, they were of... you might say they came from the area of division. Chronicles 12, isn't it? Yeah, they came from Benjamin and Judah. If you come peaceably to me. And they take up that chorus. They say, yeah. Thine are we, David. Peace, peace be to thee, and peace be to thy helpers, for thy God helps thee. It's a very, very beautiful spirit, isn't it?
The scripture you referred to in Colossians, it goes on to refer to let the peace of Christ preside in your hearts. Would that become a control influence in our lives as we allow that to take control, do you think?
Well, it should, Mr. Paul. We know Paul pretty well now. Nelson. Are you younger than Paul?
Yes, I am.
Have you been to see him in Gosford / Lizaro?
No, I haven't.
Why not? He's your brother, isn't he?
Yes, I should be.
How many years has he been there?
Sorry, I couldn't tell you accurately.
You're not up to date, are you? They still call this the Apple Isle? Still grow apples down here, Mr.
Yes, they do, but not as much as they used to.
They probably cause havoc in the environment, do they? Apples would be regarded down here probably as an environmental pest. According to some crazy section of the community. Well, we want to pray against those people. Boy, oh boy, the fellow that used to be the leader. He sparked off in Parliament House one time, didn't he? I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Fell flat. Well, we better change that subject.
I noticed a remark of Mr. Raven yesterday. He said, when a man surrenders his will, he gets the gift of peace. Would that be like a prerequisite in individual exercise before I can be a peacemaker collectively?
Yes. It means I give up self. That's what brings in the enmity, is the projection of self, the place for self. Mr. Raven was able to express himself in very few words, but he was very, very, very precise. It's good to dip into these older ministries and prove that they're right up to date today. Go on, Mr. Roger.
Was Abigail a peacemaker? And loss of life was averted?
Yes. Yes, I was thinking of her as well. See, she's a remarkable figure. She's been pointed up as a contemporary of David. And David's message Samuel 25. The message that David sent out through his 10 young men. It was a message of peace. Remarkable that that message should have gone and enabled long life to thee, peace be to thee, peace be to thy house, and peace be to all that thou hast. But Abigail was the one that had the message of peace. She was very acquainted with David. "Because my Lord," she says, "fights the battles of Jehovah. Evil has not been found in thee all thy days." Say some more about him, Mr. Roger.
No, I just wondered if we considered that anything we have to do with whether really got the life and souls of the saints at heart, do you think?
Yes. Yes, it's critical. It's a critical test of good leadership. That's what we need more of.
I think it was your beloved father that said.
We need better leaders. Who
is it? So I think your beloved father said that leadership's what's moral in the way a man is formed after Christ, that when the man acts, he's like Christ acting.
Who's that speaker?
Ken Reynolds.
That's who we are.
Sorry, I'm behind you.
What year was that ministry?
1962.
Yeah, I was going to say, there had to be something in the 60s. That was a 60s remark. Still stands, of course. Just repeat it again, so we'll try and get the benefit of it.
Leadership is what's moral in the way a man is formed after Christ, so when the man acts, it's like Christ acting.
You see, that's very, very profound, isn't it? James says he was only 40. We sure missed out on putting him out, didn't we? Whole generation lost their way, pretty much. Some of them haven't got back on yet. Still struggling. I remember when he came back in 78. He left it one day before he came back to my office. So he'd been cut off from his whole family, his wife and everything, for 2 years, over 2 years. The next time he came back in 83, I got him back. He came back to the office same day. The Monday. I tell you what it was like, the Lord walking in. Most remarkable to see that the stature of the man had actually grown while he'd been out of fellowship. The Lord didn't leave him alone. See, that was manhood. That was. It shows that he'd be put to the nth degree in tests and not fail. But grew in spirituality. They asked him, they raised a challenge with him about some category of matters. And he spoke to me, he said, what are they talking about? I said, well, there's nothing you have to worry about. Nothing at all that you have to worry about. Trying to dig into his private life so they could get something on him. After he'd been recovered. Shows you how dumb we are, isn't it? Mr. Jeff, we've been really dumb, haven't we?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Mr. Hales.
I'm not speaking disrespectfully to you. You're at least 10 years older than I. How old are you now?
85.
Here they are, 12 years older than I. But we've been so full of ourselves, so self-righteous. Do you agree with that, Mr.
I feel it for myself. I'm sure what you're saying is right.
I'm not attacking your father or you or anyone. Just saw your father there, so I thought I'd bring him into the reading. You got something positive to say, Mr. Jeff?
I've been thinking about what our beloved brought in right at the end of his life as to the woman in John 4. He said that when she said, she said, come see a man, she became a man. Could you say something about that?
Well, she was ready for it, you see. She was ready for evangelical service. She was representative. She was representing, speaking reverently, the manhood of Jesus, the humanity of Christ. See, she'd been a woman and a wayward one at that. But she was completely set free, that beautiful word we quote. Whatever you call it.
Emancipation.
Emancipation, that's right. She was so completely emancipated that she represented Christ.
Paul says to Thessalonians, hold aloof from every form of wickedness. Now the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Is that the effect of ministry, that we're freed from every link and then we're sanctified?
Yes. Means we're set apart. Thessalonians would have understood it. We've often been told they were young believers. That's a very beautiful verse. The God of peace. Earlier it is, I think you might have quoted it, hold aloof from every form of wickedness. I like to draw attention to that excellent note. They were to hold fast the right, the thing in itself. But we cannot speak of evil in itself as an abstract existence. Its most absolute form is Satan, as the wicked one. Though we may practically speak of evil, but I cannot say evilness as I can goodness. I must suppose an existence of what is good to have an idea of evil. Very intelligent note, isn't it? Suppose it's dandies. What was your point again? The God of peace bringing in sanctification.
Over against the every form of wickedness.
Yes. Straight
away sanctification comes in. That lovely woman in John 4, she would have realised fully the sanctification from Christ, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would have been. See, she was set apart. That was the influence he had over her, was to take her out of what she was. See, she would show the features that expressed in the new man. I formed the two in himself into one new man. That would link with what Brother just quoted. Who quoted that about manhood?
Mr. Jeff.
Yes, Jeff. You see, that would link with it because it's the features of Christ. It's not Christ personally, but it's the features of Christ expressed in the new man, that he might form the two in himself, into one new man. I think that woman would have experienced that.
At the end of Luke chapter 1, there's one that can say, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As J.S. Osh said, it's open to us to know a way of peace that nothing can break in on. That help with your thought at all?
Yes, it would. I don't know if it's in Luke. No, it's in Romans. It speaks about persons that the way of peace they have not known, I think it says. That's that's the wicked. Romans 3. ruin and misery in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. You're quoting from Luke.
Yes, chapter 1, verse 79.
To guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what the Lord is seeking to do with us, to guide our feet, guide our thoughts, guide our whole way here, the Christian way.
Second Thessalonians link goes on there, chapter 3, verse 16, that the Lord of peace himself give you peace continually in every way, that link with every pathway.
Just explain how. Just say something about it yourself.
If we're under the influence of Christ, our way here can be one of peace. If you're right.
See, it couldn't be anything else if we come under the influence of Christ. It would involve the influence of his love. That's what it said, isn't it? We can't do anything right apart from the influence of the love of Christ. So that's 1 Thessalonians again, isn't it?
2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16.
You can see the labour, Paul's labour, the way it was working to one end. You can see the way he often concludes his epistles. It involves the idea of grace and peace.
At the end of Ephesians refers to the glad tidings of peace in relation to shod in your feet, as in a protective idea. Is that right?
Yes. See, that's part of the whole parable, isn't it? Yes. Comes after the breastplate of righteousness. And shod your feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace. You can see how imbued the apostle was with the glad tidings, because that was the way he was saved, that was the way he was taken up. That's how he got set in so entirely free of Judaism. You say, well, what's Judaism for us? It's brethrenism. Brethrenism has afflicted us. I run into it so often. I'm not against the brethren, of course, but brethrenism. How's Brisbane getting on? How's the brethrenism getting on in Brisbane, Mr. Sir Patrick? We miss your father. It's easy to say.
We're very thankful for your help, Mr. Hales, in relation to the way you served us, in relation to emancipation, we're seeking to carry it forward.
Is Don Miller, is he helping you up there?
Yes, Don Miller's a very helpful brother.
That sounds like a Brisbanean remark. Honestly, you've got to get rid of it, man. He's going to give it up. Don't you think, Mr. Don?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was thinking, if it's fitting, thinking of Isaiah. Excuse me.
Sorry, it's only the temperature. It's just moved out of Antarctic now, as far as I understand. It's all right, it's 18 now, it's gone up a whole degree. Gone or done.
Yeah, I feel quite cool. It gets me on the nose a bit, you know.
Yeah, they should give you earmuffs and other things as you come into the hall.
Proper face mask might be better. I'll see you in Isaiah, Mr. Bruce. The prophet speaks of that, for thou shalt have perfect peace, the mind stayed on thee. You think if we worked towards that, we'd have peace with one another and the brethren?
Sure, we would have. See, that's that is the word perfect, and the apostle uses it. We just read a verse where he says it. The perfecting of the saints is the idea of completeness with a view to the work of the ministry. See, I think if we set ourselves to be peacemakers, a lot of the problems we have would be resolved.
Not as years each.
Every problem, in fact, would be resolved. Go on.
Notice here, Baba Frawley said that our peace is a large measure dependent on our committal to obedience to Christ. Would obedience lead us to be peacemakers?
Yeah, that's good, Mr. Matt. See, surrender, it's the principle of surrender. The apostle says, your thoughts, leading captive every thought into the obedience of the Christ. Think of what he was able for in himself. That's 2 Corinthians, I think. And it's in that section he refers to building up, I think. He speaks about the authority which the Lord has given to us for building up and not for your overthrowing. Then he repeats it in the last chapter, I think. It's what the apostle was set for.
Speaks of the...
He says that being present I may not use severity according to the authority which the Lord has given me for building up and not for overthrowing. So he was, I think the apostle came into a position of entire obedience to Christ. He says it in his last recounting of his conversion, I was not disobedient.
The man that Moses says he was meek above all men on the face of the earth, would that be an ingredient of a peacemaker in a locality?
Yes, it would. See, that comes into this passage in Matthew 5 earlier on. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, that was God defending Moses when he was under attack. Go on, Mark.
Would the work of princes in Ephesians 4, keeping the unity of spirit, the uniting bond of peace, be something that's open to each one of us to take on?
Yes. How critical it is that we use diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. And there's a note there that's interesting. It's to the bond. It's the bond together. It's not the power of union. That is the Holy Spirit, but the practically uniting, in fact, as amongst men on earth. See, that's a very high level working out of Ephesians 3. Practical working out.
The Lord in John 14 speaks of, I lay peace with you, I give my peace to you. Would you help us understand the distinction between those two statements?
I thought of that passage. Think of what peace Christ had as doing the Father's will. I think that would be included in the reference of my peace. I give my peace to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Think of the heart of Christ being fully opened out to his own. In some sense, nothing was left untold.
The apostle would say to Timothy, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Is it really pursue? It's really an active idea, is it?
Yes, it is. See, that's what's been quoted, isn't it? That pursuing righteousness, because it moves fast, travels fast. I see, Mr. Ross Parker, you moved down here now, Ross?
Yeah, that's right. I'm local in Launceston.
Experiencing the emancipation of getting out of Queensland?
Well, the brethren down here have been very kind and absorbed it into the family.
Nothing against Queensland. They got the only non-Labor Premier, apart from Tasmania. Tasmania, what, you got a non-Labor Premier, have you, Mr. Nathan?
Yeah, kind of just holding on by a thread, but the Premier's a Liberal, yeah.
Yeah, that's mostly how governments hold on at the moment, by a thread. They have all these other parties.
Was it about
that? They haven't got a change of leadership in Australia now in the non-government section. They could join up with that red-haired woman. They'd get a bit of fire in their belly. I think those two together would be a force to be reckoned with. If you can't beat them, join them. Just got to be careful who you join with, that's all. Sorry, cut someone off.
It's just a Barbados quote, Mr. Hales, of Mr. John Hales coming to Leeton 2014 on peace, and he said that we can have joy sometimes and sorrow sometimes and tribulation sometimes, but we can have peace all the time. So it was a beautiful word.
It's very good. He said that in Lenten, did he?
No, it came in as a quote in the meeting.
At Lenten?
Yes.
Who was taking the meetings?
You were, Mr. Half.
You're out of the... You're in the wrong... Here, quotations. So someone else quoted it, did they?
Yes, that's right.
You? Yeah.
No, it was actually, I think it was Andrew Orba that did it.
Okay.
Brought it in. It was very good.
Good for Andrew. You'll hear about it before the day's out. I hope his shares go up.
Said in the Proverbs, when a man's ways please Jehovah, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
That yes.
would be very broad coverage, wouldn't it?
It's a very good reference. I remember my brother quoting that privately numbers of times. Hey, Mr. John, you haven't said anything yet?
I remember having the privilege of going to the Privy Council with your father in relation to that Ashfield case.
Was that 76?
Yes, it would have been.
Yeah. Did we win that one?
Sorry? Yes.
Did we win it?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Thought we did, yeah.
I was thinking of the Lord's word to the disciples in John 20, peace be to you. He repeats it in view of the administration.
Yeah, it's very beautiful the way it comes in twice. Peace be unto you. Go on, what's the next piece?
And then he says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. And then whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Our beloved spoke about that, didn't he? The remission comes first.
I was just thinking of that. See, that should appeal to us. That should be first and foremost with us. Anything comes up, just remember, remission is to be considered first. If we think about it long enough, I think we'll find a place to fit in remission. Mostly, that's the case, I would say, mostly. What problems we've created for ourselves by rushing into the second part. Go on, John.
I was just thinking of that woman in Luke 7 where we get the reference to her many sins are forgiven. The Lord says to her, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Will that link with just what you referred to?
Yes, she was clinging on to him. See, she's already converted. Her sins had already been met. But she wanted, I think J&D says that she came there because she wanted to get a pardon from Christ himself. She wanted to get a pardon from his own lips. That's what it meant to her. She got it. And what the Lord credits it to is her faith in him. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. We're finished, but someone just behind was trying to say something.
I wondered if you'd say something as to the idea of the peace of Jerusalem. A collective idea, perhaps, is it?
Yeah, that's a good reference. Well, what psalm is that? 122. Oh, yes. So we could finish on that note, I think. That would be a good note to finish on. Jerusalem. Build as a city that's compact together. Whither the tribes go up. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, that's what we want. That comes down to every one of our local assemblies. Peace be within thy bulwarks. Prosperity within thy palaces. I'm sure that's what the Lord would be aiming for with us, is prosperous conditions, every local assembly.
Number 21.
From
Roots of victory, love.